Since there is a little change in the program, I would like to introduce our main speaker and main personality, and main instructor and everything, a dear friend of mine, His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. I think you have heard about him already. He is known for his amazing deep presentations on Krishna consciousness, and he's also, let us say, known as a very, he presents the holy name in a Japa school which has many followers. He's one of the spiritual masters of our society and has many disciples, as we can expect, because Russia, where Maharaj comes from, is very, very, I think the people have a natural genetic codex for deep spiritual practice. That's how I would say it. They're very determined to live the Krishna consciousness. I have heard that half of Vrindavan is speaking Russia at the moment. Because so many have taken shelter in the holy Dham. So Maharaj will speak in English, he will sing a bhajan, and at the end of the bhajan he will do a little of our Gora meditation. It's like we do it, let's see if there's time. But for now I would like to ask all of you to welcome him with affection in your voice and affection in your heart. Gaura Premanandi.
Thank you. Thank you. here because I need to.
shall I read the rest?
Yeah, it's good all this. But you don't need to do
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Two verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyayuga, chapter 5, entitled The Activities of Sakshi Gopala, and then speak something little about this mentioned episode and some other episodes. Kapoteshvara dekhite gela bhakta gana sange eta nityananda prabhu koila danda bhange tinakanda kari danda dila bhasana bhakta sange ala prabhu mahesha dekhina. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple of Lord Shiva, known as Kapateshwara, Nityananda Prabhu, who was keeping his sannyasa staff in custody, broke the staff in three parts and threw it into the river Bhargi-nadi. Later this river became known as Danda-bhanga-nadi, purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. The mystery of sannyasa danda, staff of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has been explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the order of sannyasa from a Mayavadi sannyasi. A Mayavadi sannyasi generally carry one staff or danda. Taking advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's absence, Sri Nityananda Prabhu broke the staff into three parts and threw it into the river, later known as Danda Bhanga Nadi. In the sannyasa order, there are four divisions, Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Hamsa, and Paramahamsa. Only when the sannyasi remains on the Kutichaka and Bahudaka platforms can he carry a staff. However, when one is elevated to the status of Hamsa or Paramahamsa, after touring and preaching the bhakti cult, he must give up the sannyasa staff. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is therefore said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahyani. Two personalities, Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, are combined in the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, considering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an extraordinary person, Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not wait for the Paramahamsa stage. He reasoned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is automatically on the Paramahamsa stage. Therefore, he does not need to carry the sannyasa danda. This is the reason Sri Nityananda Prabhu broke the staff into 3 pieces and threw it into the water. And after that, there is a description how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath Temple from a distance. So we'll start here. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Vishnu Prishtaya, Bhutale, Srimate, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Vidinamine, Namaste, Saraswati Deve, Gauravani, Pracharine, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Pashyatadi, Chatarine, Vanchakavaparubhyascha, Kripa, Sindhurevacha, Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajanulam vidbhujo kanakavadato sankirtanai kapitaro kamalai daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Pavo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavatam Yantah Pradishya Mama Vachima Mantra Sutram Sanjeevaya Tekila Shakti Darak Svadhamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravana Tvagadi Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tumya. Causeless mercy of Sachinanda Maharaj and give me chance to purify myself a little bit by speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although I do feel that I am very unworthy and I would definitely prefer to hear Maharaj's lecture, but being his obedient servant, I am sitting here in front of you. Śrīla Sachinanda Maharaj told me that we are now at the stage of Śrī Caitanya Mahaprabhu's life when he is traveling to Jagannath Puri and approaching Jagannath Puri. Last time we were discussing the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri in Rimuna. And after that, there is a description of Sakshi Gopal pastime. And it's very interesting why these pastimes are described specifically when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going on the way to Jagannath Puri. We all know that initially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mad after Vrindavan and he wanted by all means to come to Vrindavan. He wanted to, he basically gave everything up to meet Krishna in Vrindavan. But very cleverly he was diverted on his way by Nityananda Prabhu, who knew his purpose better. Sometimes, and that's the mystery of devotional service, the servants know the mind and desire of their masters better than the master himself. Even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really wanted to go to Vrindavan, but Nityananda Prabhu knew that Vrindavan would not be so conducive for his mood in present incarnation. Why it is so? Because in this present incarnation, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended His main mood was Vipralamba Seva. He wanted to cultivate this mood of being in separation with Krishna. Whereas in Vrindavan, everything would remind him that he is Krishna himself. It would be totally contradictory to this mood. He couldn't cultivate the mood of separation with Krishna if he is constantly reminded he is Krishna himself. So it would not be really conducive for the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be in Vrindavan. And we know that basically in his whole life he spent in Vrindavan just a few weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks, not more than this. He did pilgrimage of all the places, and everywhere he was reminded, yes, Krishna has come again. And he left, and he never came. Most probably most of you have been in Vrindavan longer than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his whole life. So Nityananda Prabhu diverted his path to Shantipur, and we know that in Shantipur, Mother Shachi fervently requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay nearby so that she could receive regular news about him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu readily agreed to this, because he also understood at this moment that Jagannath Puri, being Kurukshetra, or at least, and Gupta Vrindavan also, is the best place for his bhajan. What is bhajan? Bhajan is feelings, is the cultivation of feelings. And it's a very delicate thing. It's not gross. It has nothing to do with some external activities. It's the cultivation of internal mood. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that Jagannath Puri would be ideal place, because even Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri is Lord Krishna experiencing this Vipralamba mood, the mood of separation. We all know that Lord Jagannath is Krishna who is ecstatically withdrawn within. What is bhakti? Bhakti is the experience within. And that much strong experience that the external world loses its relevance. The internal world becomes much more real than the external appearances of this world, and therefore all the devotees, high devotees who achieve very high level of spiritual consciousness, they become gradually withdrawn within. And Lord Jagannath is not anyone but Krishna himself who is withdrawn. We know his hands are withdrawn, his legs are completely withdrawn, no legs whatsoever. He has big eyes and big smile. So that's the ecstatic representation of the Lord, the symbolic or not even so symbolic description of this inner feelings which we are supposed to achieve. It's actually the goal, and we have to be very clear about the goal. We want to achieve love, but not just formal love, not just nominal love, not just love for the sake of saying it, but real love is in the heart, when our consciousness will be completely immersed in the object of our love. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eagerly accepted this offer to go to Jagannath Puri and to experience the highest possible limits of love. But on the way, these two episodes are being described, the Sakshi Gopal story and the story of Kirachora Gopinath. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was immensely delighted to hear these simple stories. Actually, You know, in any temple in India you come, and you probably will be told some sort of a story of this kind. You know, either the deity would stole something, or if not stole, then, you know, eat some laddu, and keeping piece of laddu, you know, not eaten, or do some other activities. And the point which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us and Krishna Das Kaviraj, of course, by expressing and describing these pastimes, is that it's beautifully expressed by this poor Brahmana who was standing in front of Sakshi Gopal. We know this story that poor Brahmana had to come back to Vrindavan and ask Gopal to become a witness. And he came back to Vrindavan and he said, you have to protect my integrity. And you have to protect your integrity, and you have to protect the integrity of this old cheating Brahmana. You are the protector of your devotees, and this old Brahmana is a devotee, I am a devotee, and you the witness. You should come and testify that I am saying the truth, that in front of you this old Brahmana promised to give his daughter in marriage to me. I don't need this daughter. From the very beginning, he was not interested in this daughter. The old Brahmana was insisting, please take this daughter. And a young Brahmana who was assisting this old rich Brahmana was hesitant. And he said, you will have trouble. I am a poor Brahmana, you are very rich, and your relatives will be against it. But, you know, the old Brahmana insisted, and he said, now Gopal is my witness. So he came to Gopal when, of course, how he was thinking happened, you know, how he predicted. And the old Brahmana was really uneasy was kind of said that, I don't remember, maybe I promise, maybe I don't promise. And when the young Brahmana said that, but Gopal is the witness, son of this old Brahmana who was an atheist, he immediately caught him and he said, okay, if he's the witness, let him come here. Let him come here and prove that this really happened. And when the young Brahmana came to Gopal and started describing and praying to him from within the core of his heart, please come, Gopal, moved by his sincerity, spoke to him and said, where did you see that the deity walk? And the young Brahmana, who was really clever, he said, well, deities normally don't speak, but you're speaking to me, so if you can speak, you can walk, no problem. So, and at this moment, he said a very significant line, which is very important for us to understand. And Lord Chaitanya, he listens to these stories just for this particular line. The young Brahmana standing in front of Gopal deity, he says, Pratima nahatume sakshat prajendranandan. You're not Pratima, you're not the statue. He's standing in front of him and he's very, with full face and full conviction, tells the Lord, you're not the statue. You are Sakshat Rajendranandana. You are directly God Himself. And this belief or this understanding, this deep understanding or this deep realization is what is necessary for us to really relate to Lord in His form of the deity, in the deity form. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by listening to these stories and being delighted with these stories, He is igniting eagerness not only in His own heart, but in our heart as well, to meet with the Lord in person. Most of the people, they don't believe that God is person. They may believe that God is there, that there is some sort of force or energy, or, you know. Once I spoke with one lady philosopher, sometimes ladies also philosophers, and she was a scholar, and I said to her, you know, she really didn't like the concept of God playing flute and herding cows, which is natural in one sense. She couldn't really, you know, understand or relate to this concept. So I asked her, do you have a better idea of God? You know, we have a very definite idea of God. Yes, he's playing his flute and he's herding his cows. And she said, yes, I have a better idea of God. I said, what it is? She said, he's a big mirror. I said, this is not a very good idea. You know, it's just a big mirror. Basically, people, it's very difficult for them to understand the personal feature of the Lord. And therefore, whenever you encounter this kind of people, they always say, God is in the heart, what is the need to go to the temple? Yeah, Lord is in the heart, isn't it? What is the need to go to the temple? But there is a need to go to the temple, because there is no God in your heart. Unless you have very clear idea who this God is. And you can only get this very clear idea in the temple. In the temple you can relate personally, because in the temple there is a service to God as a person. And by coming to the temple, you're more or less involved in the same mood. And you can understand, before that, you don't have God in your heart. You have just, you know, just some formless, I don't know what it is, just some blah, something really formless. And then you say, I love God and I love everything, and this is all bogus. This is ultimately all bogus, because there is no loving feeling in real sense. It's just some sort of imagination. You know, love is a very concrete thing. Love needs to be expressed in a very concrete things. You know, I had one Mayavadi friend, and he always, his famous or favorite saying was, I am sending my love to you. And, you know, and I am sitting somewhere, and I am saying to him, I am not receiving your love. What is the meaning of this sending love? You know, it may be not bad. It's a good idea. It's a sentimental idea. It may be good, you know, some well wishes. But ultimately, love is something very concrete. If you love somebody, you want to do something for him. And when somebody comes to the temple, he is being drawn into this circle of personal service. Like now, by hearing about the Lord. And that's our service. When we chant on our own, it's one thing. We chant on our own. And we're chanting for maybe some purification of the heart, that's good. But ultimately, the real chanting starts or happens when you do it as a service to the Lord. When you only think about the purification of your own heart, it's not really what it's supposed to be. If you're doing it as a concrete service to the Lord, that's a completely different thing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's hearing these stories, and the meaning of these stories is basically to ignite his eagerness to meet with the Lord in person. Because what happens when you come to the temple, before you come to the temple and before you see the very concrete form of the Lord, you have a little vague or completely vague idea of who this God is. When you come to the temple, and if you really believe that that's God, you have much more concrete idea. And then you can keep him in the heart. even if you are away from the temple. That's what the temple worship is all about. People say it's idols. It's not idols. It's the form of the Lord which you need to carry in your heart, and by carrying it in your heart and by meditating on this form and concentrating on this form, you will make it alive. You will not make it alive. The Lord will become alive. The Lord becomes alive by our service. But first step is to understand that He is a person. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hearing these stories because he wants to meet face to face with the Lord. Sakshat Prajendra Nandana. He doesn't go, you know, he doesn't go as a tourist to Jagannath Puri. Let's see what is this tourist attraction, what is there. You know, he wants to meet with the Lord. And he knows that to meet with the Lord, you have to undergo some difficulties. This journey of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagannath Puri is actually, in one sense, this symbolic journey of everyone's soul to come to the Lord. And the driving force during this journey is desire to meet with the Lord. And if this desire becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger due to your meditation and due to your expectation, then sure enough you will meet the Lord. And if you come just, yes, let's go. Prasadam is nice. Then you will not meet the Lord and then you will cheat yourself. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is showing to us how we should actually tune us up. I am coming to see the Lord in person. And it's not just some idol, it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And I have the audacity to speak in front of him. And I beg forgiveness. But actually that should be the feeling. He's here. And he is Sakshat Prajendra Nandana. Pratimana Hatume Sakshat Prajendra Nandana. And that's the secret to make the deity alive. The deity reciprocates with our mood. And if we think that this is just a stone or piece of wood, the deity will very obediently remain the stone or piece of wood. Because he reciprocates with our feelings. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the way here I will tell a few stories on the way through his journey, which are very important before I describe his arrival to Jagannath Puri. Lord Chandas Thakur, in his Chaitanya Mangala, he describes little story with tax collector. On the way to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encountered very bad person who was tax collector, and he was famous for harassing devotees, or for harassing everyone, basically. He was a very bad-hearted person. Gadadhar Pandit, who was accompanying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at one point of the journey, noticed that there was a little crowd of devotees accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He all of a sudden noticed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was usually the leader, and he was running with such eagerness to meet with the Lord. He was always up front, and everyone else was short of breath to catch for the Lord. But all of a sudden Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back. The group of devotees went front, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back. And Gadadhar Pandit, who was very clever, he thought, there is some mystery in this. Why all of a sudden he is retracted on the back of this party? And he decided to go back, just in case. So what happened, the devotees who were up front, they were arrested by this toll collector. And he started harassing them and demanding that they should pay taxes. You know, I heard a saying that in this life there are two things which are sure: death and taxes. It has been a long tradition. Even in Orissa at that time, the taxes were a heavy thing, and this, you know, tax collector who was definitely overdoing or overextending his powers, he arrested these devotees and started heavily harassing them. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purposefully came back to this party so that he could release his devotees. That's actually a favorite pastime of the Lord. He puts his devotees in trouble and then saves them. Have you noticed this? You know, it happens because he wants to test the force or the strength of our faith. So these devotees, they were harassed by this collector and they were crying piteously, and after some time the Lord shows up, and when they see the Lord, they start crying even more loudly. And they crying so loudly, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees this and he becomes angry. And he roars and runs to this tax collector. But what happened with this tax collector? The tax collector miraculously, immediately on the spot, had a change of the heart. He felt unusual feelings. His hands stand on end, and somehow or other the tears started flowing. And he saw this figure. You please try to imagine this amazing scene, you know, huge figure, golden figure, is running to you and roaring, completely angry. And you are not a small guy, you are a strong guy, you know, who was harassing people for a long time, and he is there. And all of a sudden he started crying. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him, instead of trying to defend himself or attack Lord Chaitanya, he fell down at his feet and he started crying, and he said, "You must be the Lord himself." Sometimes we, being a devotee, you know, reading so much Chaitanya Charitamrita, we doubt it. Because, you know, we're being skeptical, rationally minded Germans, and not so rationally minded Russians, but still somewhat affected. We think, you know, no, he's not God. But what we have to really remember all the time is that the influence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personal influence, was tremendous. Whoever would see him, just having little darshan, especially when this fire of love of God was, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger in his heart, would be immediately affected and infected by this love. Actually, and this is the purport of the next story which I am going to tell, is that bhakti is being transferred by the sound vibration from the heart to heart. And when a pure devotee, he pronounces any sound, this vibration is so strong that it goes directly to the heart and makes the change in the heart. And it's a reality. The bhakti is transferred from heart to heart, bhaktya sanjayate bhaktya, but through the medium of sound vibration. This is how bhakti is being transferred. Of course, we do have our vibrations, and of course, definitely Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his aura and his energy, but through the medium of sound vibration, because when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not just running, he was roaring. He was roaring like Hari, Hari, Hari. And you know, this sinful tax collector who was really sinful, who had his heart covered by the layers of sinful activities, he immediately felt change in the heart because this sound penetrated all these sinful layers. All the contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya, including Murari Gupta, who was his personal associate, and many others, of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they never saw Lord Chaitanya, but they saw somebody who saw Lord Chaitanya. And just by seeing somebody who saw Lord Chaitanya, who had this transformation in the heart, they could feel basically the same presence and the same effect. And actually sometimes we, being very sinful, extremely sinful, I'm sure this tax collector, he never ate cow's meat. But we are not of this category, most of us. I believe maybe some little babies who happen to be born in devotional families. But anyway, this tax collector, he had this change of the heart through the sound vibration, and he immediately fell down at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and started begging forgiveness and saying, you're the Lord himself, because nobody else could change my heart. Nobody else could do what you have done to me. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful to the fallen, he rose him up and he embraced him. And sure enough, and this sinful tax collector started dancing.
Oh.
He started madly dancing, being overwhelmed by this joy. Again, bhakti brings the most amazing experience. Real bhakti brings this most amazing experience of overwhelming joy, which actually, as Srila Prabhupada said, we all are eager to have something like this, to have this experience. And only holy name chanted purely from the lips of a pure devotee can give us this. So my next little story, which also happened during this journey, is about this transformation. Because, as I said, even though Lord Chaitanya was completely overwhelmed himself with the love, but sometimes he would come incidentally to external consciousness. Most of the time, most of the journey, his consciousness was completely inside, experiencing this anticipation of the meeting with the Lord. But sometimes he would come and he would look around, and naturally he would see people who don't have the same experience. Preaching is actually the result of the heart, which is overflowing with love. Preaching is not some sort of activity to show one's superiority to people, or to show how I'm more intellectually astute than you, or whatever it is. It's just a result of the heart overflowing with love. So this little story described by in Govinda Kadacha, which some scholars don't consider very authoritative, but this little story still nevertheless is very beautiful. When the Lord was running towards Jagannath Puri, at one point he heard this very loud sound. And he looked and he saw a dhobi. He saw a washerman washing the clothes. And this washerman was completely absorbed. He was in complete washing clothes samadhi. He was... And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he looked at this poor person and, feeling this complete love and ecstasy of love to God, he looked at this person and he saw this person for the rest of his life will be doing this and nothing will happen in his life. For the rest of his life, he will just be washing the dirty clothes of some other people. And is it really the dignity of the soul? How this soul can be completely humiliated by coming to this material environment, being engaged in this meaningless activity? And we can see around, you know, not around, sometimes in a mirror, you know, some souls which are engaged in meaningless activity, completely immersed in this meaningless activity till the rest of the life, without any change. You know, people just doing this. So Lord Chaitanya ran to this dhobi, and Lord Chaitanya was little ahead of his party as usually. He was running, you know, ahead of everyone. So he ran to this dhobi and he kneeled down to this dhobi. Dhobis, the washermen, are considered to be of a lowest caste because they constantly deal with others' dirt. You know, they're not very clean, and you know, usually people don't come close to them, especially when they do this chuk-chuk-chuk business, because usually, you know, it splashes the drops of dirty water. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's of the highest order of Brahminical dignity, of Brahminical, you know, very high Brahminical birth, and he's a sannyasi. He comes to this dhobi, who is the lowest of all. He kneels down to this dhobi, and he says, please, say Hari Bol. Say Hari Bol. And this dhobi, he doesn't even look at him. He doesn't want to look. He just sees the red clothes. And immediately the alarm goes in, because, you know, that red clothes means some begging business. So he doesn't want to look at him, and he says, no, I'm busy. Lord Chaitanya again begs him, please say Hari Bol, say Hari Bol. He says, no, I'm busy. And, you know, and then Lord Chaitanya says again, say Hari Bol. He says, I have no money. You know, it's a very standard answer, you know. When you meet somebody on the street, you know, and you try to sell him, I have no money, get out of here. So he was really insecure, this dhobi. He really thought that there is some begging is going on. And the begging was going on, but not the real begging, not the begging because of the scarcity in the heart, the begging because of the fullness of the heart. Lord Chaitanya was begging him, but because of the fullness of the heart. And this dhobi, he said, what do you want? Lord Chaitanya was insisting again and again, what do you want? He said, I don't want anything, I just want you to say Hari Bol. And he said, I'm busy. If I say this Hari Bol, who will do my job? You know, isn't it also a very standard answer? You know, if I say all this stuff, who will do the business? I have my family, I have my children, I have my wife, you know, get out of here. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, at this moment of time, he said, you know, if this is the only problem, I can wash the clothes in the meantime for you. You just say Hari Bol. This is the extent Lord Chaitanya goes to save somebody. He's just really begging. And this is the first time when this dhobi looks at him. Before that, he didn't even want to look at him. And he sees this beautiful sannyasi with huge lotus eyes and shaven head, effulgent, with red clothes, and really completely humble. Extremely humble, genuinely humble, asking him, please chant Hari Bol. And he said, okay, what do you want me to chant? He said, Hari Bol. This dhobi said, Hari Bol. Lord Chaitanya said, chant again, Hari Bol. He said, Hari Bol. Lord Chaitanya said, Hari, say again. And he said, Hari Bol. And at that moment, miracle happened. This dhobi, he said, Hari Bol, 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 Hari Bol. He started dancing like a madman. He was feeling something, not because he planned to dance. He started dancing like anything, you know, and singing and loudly chanting Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. And Lord Chaitanya sat at a distance and looked at him and said, "How nice, how nice." Finally, this man is doing something. Something is happening in his life. And very soon, the little entourage of Lord Chaitanya also came, and they sat down and they looked at this dobi, and they see him in completely overwhelmed with ecstasy, in complete samadhi actually. And they all very pleased. They're smiling and they're saying, "Yes, yes, 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 Haribo, 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 very good, very good." So what happened next? The wife of this poor, completely cheated washerman comes, and she sees a very unusual scene. He had a very nagging wife, and the wife actually would bring him lunch because she didn't want him to waste time going home and resting. She needed this chup-chup business, you know, from this dobi. And the wife sees her husband dancing for the first time in her life. And she says, "I never knew that you're into dancing. You know, what are you doing?" And this man, he doesn't see her. He's just dancing madly. Haribo, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he doesn't answer anything to his wife, and the wife comes closer. And she looks at his eyes and she sees there's nobody there. Because his consciousness is completely withdrawn. He's not there. He doesn't have any external consciousness. He's just madly dancing, experiencing these waves of emotions which are coming from the holy name. So the wife became really scared, and she runs to the village and she calls all the villagers and she says, my husband is possessed. My husband is possessed. He's mad. He's crazy. Come." And the whole village came. And all this, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his party, they're sitting there and they're watching and they're thinking, what's going to happen? They're very interested. What's going to happen next? So the wife comes and the villagers comes and they see this scene, this madman dancing there and chanting Haribo. And then, you know, villagers, they're trying to reason him, they're trying to say something. They're saying, you know, "You're a good citizen, good German citizen, please do as Germans are supposed to do," or whatever, you know. it's not becoming you, it's not good what they're doing. You know, he doesn't hear. He couldn't care less. He's just dancing, completely happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Then they realized that something really serious going on. That this is not an easy case. Not something easy. So they pushed up front one very senior and sober man, and they said, you touch him. Maybe he will calm down, because, you know, he's frenzy, in this frenzy, you know, you just touch him. And everyone else is afraid to touch him. So this man comes close and he touches this mad washerman, and immediately all the hairs in his body stand on end and tears flow from his eyes, and he started dancing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. And then, you know, there are two of them dancing. And this, the second one, he was much more mad, so he started running and touching everyone else. And soon the whole village is dancing and chanting Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu watches this and says, "Very good, very good, very good." And As one of our acharyas said, that whatever Lord Chaitanya did, it was just a simple of it was just a little sample of what's going to be repeated even after his departure. he was teaching by giving people the direct experience, what people are actually eager to get. And we can see, of course, the power is not the same, but sometimes we can see during our harinams, you know, some people, especially if they're a little drunk, they also... why? Because when they're drunk, their heart is a little open. Usually the heart is very closed, but when they're a little drunk, you know, they become a little open-hearted and their consciousness is more open to the strange ideas. So they start dancing and singing madly. And this is exactly, you know, please be sure that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that moment, he's sitting somewhere and watching and saying, very good, very good, very good. I like it. This is what I came for. I came for this. I came to give the experience. I came to give the experience which is completely different from anything else, from this chuk-chuk-chuk business in the material life, you know. Before that it was chuk-chuk business in the washerman, now it's just, you know, this chuk-chuk in the computer, you know. All the people, all the whole day long, you know, they're doing this chuk-chuk-chuk like ghosts, you know. So, this little episode also happened during this journey, and again, the whole idea of this journey is this eagerness which is coming stronger and stronger and stronger moment by moment. And this eagerness is becoming contagious. He converted this tax collector, he converted this poor dhobi, and finally they're approaching Jagannath Puri. And as it is said here in this verse which we read, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits the temple of Kapateshwara Mahadev. There is a very beautiful, very small temple of Kapateshwara Mahadev. This name Kapateshwara Mahadev is also interesting because Kapat means pigeon. So this particular Mahadev, he is the lord of pigeons. I don't exactly know the story, but probably there is some particular story why this Lord Shiva is herding the pigeons or whatever was there. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, and would come to the temple, he would dance madly. So he gave his danda to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And this story is very beautifully described also in Chaitanya Mangal by Lochindas Thakur. And when Lord Chaitanya went away, Lord Nityananda was sitting with his danda. And he starts speaking with the danda. He says, such a useless thing you are. What have you done? He starts accusing this danda. He's saying, you made so much trouble to so many devotees. So many devotees were put in complete anxiety because of you. And he's getting, his heart started pumping, like, you know, very strongly, and he became red, and he said, I will punish you. And he broke this danda, and he said, you useless danda, you threw it in the river. You just go there, because you are the cause of so much anxieties to so many devotees. So many devotees, because of you, they are completely aggrieved. And who you think you are? My Lord is Krishna himself. He's not supposed to hold you, he's supposed to hold the flute. And instead of holding the flute, he's holding stupid you. So saying this, he's shrewdly. And Lord Chaitanya came back, and Nityananda Prabhu is little fearful. He knows that he's up for trouble. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Where's my danda? I gave to you the danda. What have you done with this danda?" He said, "I broke it and threw it in the river." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You're crazy. You're completely madman. This is my bad fortune that I'm in the company of this madman. I gave you this danda to guard and you broke it. You're madman. You're completely incoherent. You cannot even explain this. All the demigods are there in this danda and you broke it." And Lord Nityananda smiled at him and said, "Yes, yes, yes. When I saw that you carry all the demigods on your shoulder, I became very angry and that's why I broke it. What kind of stuff it is, all the demigods, and you're carrying it in your shoulder." You know. And Lord Chaitanya, he became externally very angry, but internally very pleased. Internally he became very pleased. And he said, at this moment of time, after this Danda Bhanga and still this Bhargava Nadi, it's a river which was created by Bhrigu Rishi. She is actually considered to be the daughter of Bhrigu Rishi, but that's a different story. So still this Bhargava Nadi is there, and the confluence of this where Lord Nityananda threw the danda and beautiful temple is standing there. But actually, again, Lord Nityananda, coming back to our initial point, that sometimes the servant knows the desire of the Lord better than the Lord himself. He created this pastime for a reason also. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada explains the esoteric reason. He just didn't want that Lord Chaitanya carries ekadanda. He thought it's an offense. And anyway, you know, he's not supposed to carry danda because he's much higher than this. But his immediate reason was also, he wanted to give an excuse to the Lord to come to the temple alone. After this incident, Lord Chaitanya, he said to Lord Nityananda, "You know, I don't want to be with you, with all of you." And Lord Nityananda knew it, because even the Lord himself sometimes need privacy in his interaction with the Lord. Lord Nityananda knew very well that, you know, when we are with other people and when we are in front of the Lord, it's still some distraction. Still some sort of influence is there of other people. So Lord Nityananda knew also in the heart that Lord Chaitanya needs an excuse to leave them behind. To go to Jagannath Puri alone and to see and to have his first darshan of Lord Jagannath in complete privacy, as if meeting him within his heart. Because when you come to the temple, it's actually, you're supposed to come inside, not outside. And you encounter the Lord inside the temple and also inside your heart. This is the object of your love. This is the source of your existence. This is your best friend with whom you are connected from time immemorial. So the next pastime describes how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to his associates that either you go first and I stay here and I don't know how many days, or I go first. And of course his followers said, we'll stay behind you. And from this Kapateswar temple, Kapateswar Mahadev temple, you can see the tower of Jagannath temple, which is very high. Sometimes it disappears from the vision, but that's the first place when you can see the tower of Jagannath temple. And when Lord Chaitanya saw the tower of Jagannath temple, his heart became completely mad. You know, it started beating like anything. And he saw, I think that will be the topic of the next story, how he saw Lord Krishna. He saw actually a small blue boy up near the chakra of Jagannath temple. And he started chanting the verse, not even the whole verse, just half of the verse. He couldn't even pronounce the whole verse. He says, this enchanting blue boy is calling for me. He is there. For a split moment, he saw this vision of Krishna calling for him. And this vision disappeared and his heart broke. So the rest of the journey was very difficult for him because he was falling unconscious again and again and again. But I guess that will be the topic of the next class. For today we were talking about this overwhelming eagerness, which is the driving force in our journey towards the Lord. If we have this complete conviction that He is the person who is waiting for us, who is not just a statue, or not just a concept, or not just a mirror to show us our ugly features. He is there waiting for us more than we are waiting for Him. More eager for us to come than we are eager to come to Him. And if this understanding is there, firmly established in the heart, and if it grows due to association and understanding and deeper realization which comes on the way, then ultimately we will see the Lord. Initially He will be a small blue boy calling us from the tower, and at the end He will come to us in His full glory. Thank you very much.
Very, very good.
Very, very enlightening, no?
Yes.
Ooh. Can someone please give me the microphone? If you just do very, it will be 5 minutes, and then questions can be given. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you really very much, Maharaj. I mean, the way you depicted the transformation of the washerman who was engaged in the dirty water flying all around him, not looking for a very, very good future until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed him in His mercy. The way you depicted this, I think all of us felt something. Oh yes, when will I stop my when will I be fortunate like that? Washerman was fortunate. And Maharaj also explained something I noted down here, that bhakti can come to all of us. It will be transformed, not transferred. from the heart of Lord Chaitanya to our own heart. And I thought we'd make a little meditation around this. For only 2 minutes, where we try to receive Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our hearts. So there is just the mother receiving her child at the moment. I think she came into your heart just now, and suddenly she gave you the malini to you. So I want to do something based on Maharaj's explanation, where we can also try to receive, like a mother or a friend or a devotee, another person in our heart, the personality of the Lord. So I request you to just sit down. Sit up, you're already doing this, to sit up and just thinking, is the harmonium somewhere? It is there. I know you are, most of you are thinking about meditation in your life, so this is now an opportunity to do so. Also those who are in the internet looking at us, it's a moment to calm down. Maybe some of you are cooking soup for the dinner. Maybe put the soup on a small flame. Inside of you. and follow your breath. Please let us go into the position of that man. He's in one location. All of a sudden, you see the golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. The form comes towards you.
Everyone, please.
chant the first Hari Bol, and a second time Hari Bol, and the third time it worked. I could hear by the sound vibration, the third time it worked also a little better for you than the first time. You can always do this meditation. Welcome the Lord in the heart. Welcome Him with the golden effulgence.
Feelings is inside, but then the feelings should manifest externally. Like the mother, she has a very strong feeling towards the child, but it doesn't mean that she's just sitting idle and enjoying these feelings. These both things are there, but the external is the result of internal. Of course, in our case, it can be vice versa too. We do something externally and then it brings some feeling within our heart. But the point is that both things should be there. If it's just feeling without any concrete activity, it's sort of empty and little selfish. It's not the proper feeling. Feeling of what means for somebody I'm doing. But if it's some activity without feeling, it's also empty. And it also doesn't bring any satisfaction to the heart. So to keep the balance, we have to understand that love has those two aspects. And when we do something external, we have to also remember about the internal feelings which has to support it. Or when we feel something, we also have to realize that if we feel something, it has also to come out as some external activity. We want to share the same feeling, it's genuine feeling with others through different media. Yes?
Hare Krishna. I wanted to come back to the lecture you gave on Wednesday in the Golden Temple. That was a really amazing class. And I talked to other devotees and it really resonated with them as well. Because what you were saying was that it's so important to keep the goal in focus and not the sadhana. Of course, sadhana is important, but you also said now. My question is, how long in your personal life does it take you to come to this conclusion? Or because you, I actually don't know so much about you, sorry, but maybe how was it for you when you joined the movement? I don't know, how was it for you? Was it very obvious or?
No, it was not obvious, of course. I was much more bewildered than anyone else because I was a scientist. The most bewildered people. and of course, initially the goal was not clear. But what I probably didn't say clearly enough is that we need to have the highest possible goal because, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he has a very beautiful saying, I don't remember very exactly, but he says that the greatness of a man is defined by the greatness of his goal. So the greatness of the man, or the meaning of the man, or the human being, is not defined by his present state. It's defined by his aspiration, or the greatness of the height of his aspirations. So we definitely have to have the highest possible goal, but at the same time, the highest possible goal may not be relevant, immediately relevant to us. And it's also very important to have relevant goals, goals which excite us and give us enthusiasm and energy. So these two goals should be there. The goal is only, you know, if it's only lower goal, it's not good. If the goal is too high and we cannot really relate ourselves with this goal and cannot really get enthusiasm and excitement because the goal is too high, that's also not good. So we have to have the highest possible goal and we have to have a relevant goal which is leading to this goal, to the highest possible goal as a stage. So what I can say, answering directly your question, I definitely didn't relate to the highest possible goal. I still cannot relate it fully. You know, to be honest with you, I just know that this is, you know, I definitely know to a certain extent that, you know, there's nothing more beautiful than Krishna Vrindavan. This much experience I have, that there's something overwhelmingly beautiful in this idea of Krishna as the Lord of Vrindavan. But at the same time, what was clear to me is that there are some immediate goals which were relevant and they kept me going. But in the meantime also, I was studying and listening and trying to relate to the highest possible goal. But, you know, having the highest possible goal doesn't mean neglecting other essential goals which may bring us closer to the highest goals. It it's important. It's important to understand that the path is gradual. So it takes some time. It definitely takes some time. But it's not a question of defined time. It's a question of association. If you have very good association, you can be established in this goal within a split second. Somehow or other, this goal can be transferred to your heart from the heart of some great sadhu. And then you forget everything else. Everything else will become totally irrelevant. So it's not a question of time, it's a question of association and your readiness and openness in the association. Something like that.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for coming to this part of the world. And I'm thinking so much about the lecture on Wednesday, and the question is, so if I understood you right, the point is that we have to have a goal, and without having a goal we're going somewhere and we'll maybe sometime come somewhere, maybe not. From this aspect, what does the story of Ajamil talking, saying to us? How should we understand it?
The story of Ajamil, the main lesson of the story of Ajamil's story, is the power of the holy name. It's not teaching us bhakti. It's teaching us the power of the holy name. And it's very interesting. Srila Jivanaswami, he says, actually to practice bhakti, you don't need anything. You don't need even faith. You can, and the story of Ajamil is a vivid example of it. He was practicing bhakti and he was very successful, but he didn't have any faith. But Srila Jiva Goswami says, but you need faith to become one-pointed, to have this goal in your practice. Because, yes, the story of Ajamil shows that the holy name, even if it's pronounced without any faith or without any goal, can give you liberation. And in this way, it emphasizing the point of the, you know, the power of the practice. But the holy name can give you much more. And my lecture was about getting something more than liberation. Lord Krishna says in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Amai bhaktirhi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate tishtya yadasin matsneho bhavatinam madapanah. He says basically that there are two kinds of bhakti. Amai bhaktirhi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate. The ordinary bhakti gives you amrit, makes you deathless, immortal, gives you basically liberation. Mayi bhakti, and he stresses this, emphasizes this, mayi bhakti hi bhutanam. Indeed, any form of bhakti gives you liberation. But he says, distya madasin yatsneho bhavatinam madapanah. Distya yadasin matsneho. But he says, he is speaking this verse towards the inhabitants of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis. And he says, but you're lucky. Everyone else gets liberation. They're not so lucky. By some good fortune, distya yadasin matsneho, you have the love. And to have love, it's a completely different ballgame. And this love brings us close to Krishna, bhavatinam madapanam. This is something which brings us. So he speaks about two kinds of bhakti. One is ordinary bhakti, another one is bhakti with love. And he speaks about two kinds of results of bhakti. One is just ordinary result, which is liberation. And another one is closeness to Krishna, or personal service to Krishna. So, So story of Ajahn Mill is supposed to give us the strengthen our faith into the process, but it doesn't teach us the process itself. The process itself is to become one-pointed, to become very clearly established in the goal.
Jai. 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 J